Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
All right, the problems of Zimbabwe are getting worse every day. Inflation is now at more than 2,000% and rising. And you know now that the average life expectancy is just 33 years of age. Isn't that terrible? Prominent Roman Catholic Archbishop of Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, Pius Nakubi, is calling for the country's leader, Robert Mugabe, to be sacked. He's in Australia and he joins us now on Open House. Archbishop Mugabe, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
What are you hoping to achieve during your visit here to Australia?
An awareness on the part of the Australians, also on the part of the humanitarian organizations and the churches, to assist our situation in Zimbabwe.
If you could have it your way, what would you like the international community to be doing to respond to the crisis in Zimbabwe?
I feel that they should continue exerting pressure on the political leaders in Zimbabwe. At the same time, there is an initiative begun by what I call the Southern African Development Community, about 14 countries that are neighbors of Zimbabwe. They are trying to broker peace and the way forward between Mugabe and the opposition leaders. There are two of them in Zimbabwe. Perhaps we would wish that that is supported so that we can achieve peace. Of course, any elections will be futile unless there is a new constitution and unless there is a new electoral criteria are laid down so that there would be those elections would be free and fair.
You're on the record as saying that you think the people of Zimbabwe should rise up and overthrow the Mugabe government. What are you proposing? How should they overthrow Mugabe?
That would mean that the people of Zimbabwe would need a lot of self-confidence. They must believe in themselves. They must believe that they have the power to overthrow the dictator. But at the same time, it would also need good leadership to convince people and to get people to be ready to be self-sacrificing, to take a stand against this man, because that could cost some lives. I mean, the man is very defensive, and he will just do anything. He could just spray the crowd with guns just to keep in power. So it means educating the people to stand for their rights and not just allow themselves to be walked over as Mugabe is doing right now.
Yes,
that has happened in certain countries where people really took a stand and they got off the dictators.
Yeah, and how would you like that to happen? Are you talking about peaceful protests or how would it work out in practice?
It would be peaceful protests where, I mean, Christianly speaking, we can't support violence. And Jesus already said, those who take up the sword will die by the sword. And we've seen what violence has done in recent African history, in Rwanda, in the Congo, in the Darfur, and that often it's the innocent person who suffers, while the fomenters and beginners of the violence get away scot-free. So violence doesn't pay in the end. So it would be a peaceful stand, a peaceful operation, such as a peaceful march or going to stand together. But it also means organizing food and water, and because if you are going to have a three-day standoff, then people get hungry and they would need food so that they keep going. It means a lot of planning. But once people believe in themselves, the biggest problem that in Zimbabwe, Mugabe has intimidated people and they're very much afraid. But if people have self-confidence, that very self-confidence which they have is more powerful than all the guns of the dictator.
And Archbishop Nakubi, I believe that you personally have received death threats. Who were they from and what have they threatened to do?
They came from state security agents, and I was informed actually by some people who work with state security agents. And informing me that I was on the death list, but I refused to be afraid of them because this is how they silence people, that's how they get people to run away and leave Zimbabwe because they are afraid for their lives. I will not accept being intimidated in that way because I believe that we must stand for what we are convinced. I believe that as church we have a prophetic role to defend the poor and the marginalized. And I mean, Jesus already said what you do unto those who suffer, who are shelterless, who are without food, who are without a care when they are sick and in prison, you do to me. So as Christians, we must look after these people and not just side with the rich. It's a temptation sometimes for us clergy to side with the rich because they will be pay us for siding with them, and we should avoid that temptation.
Yes. I think it was Desmond Tutu who said that African countries have been unwilling to condemn Mugabe because of his history as, I quote, freedom fighter distributing white farms to black people. Do you think that is the case, why there hasn't been so much support from Africa?
It's much deeper than that. I mean, these injustices are going on in a lot of African countries. And so, you see, it's very difficult, you know. They say those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So some leaders, they themselves don't have a clean record. And their own countries are suffering under a lot of corruption. So it makes them it very difficult for them to really to call to accountability their fellow African leaders. It's quite a complex issue.
Yes, that would make a lot of sense. So it means that you've got countries around you that aren't going to be doing too much. So it really does depend on the international community to support you in some kind of way. What impact have the US and EU imposed sanctions had on Zimbabwe?
They are not really sanctions. These they are called targeted sanctions against Mugabe. For instance, Mugabe cannot travel to any of the Western countries, except for certain exceptions, like when he traveled to Rome for the burial of the Pope, or when he goes to a United Nations meeting. So these are targeted sanctions. In other words, they also they've frozen the accounts of these people. But they are not general sanctions. For instance, Zimbabwe can still export if it had products. Unfortunately, it has not much to produce after Mugabe took over the commercial farms and dished them out to his party cronies. As such, they are not general sanctions against Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe still trades a bit of what it is, like timber, like some tobacco, even with America. So they are not sanctions in that sense. It's just a targeted sanctions. So the impact, of course, that it makes them pretty angry, these people, these Mugabe's cronies. Yeah, but they are not general sanctions.
Okay, so it's made them angry, but has it actually aided the peace effort at all? Has it helped you?
No, it's one of those things to remind the Zimbabwean leaders that they've gone against their people. The peace effort, well, it will take a whole lot of factors, really, to put together and to succeed. I mean, one of the biggest stumbling blocks is Mugabe himself. Mugabe thinks he has a right to rule. The people of Zimbabwe must be under him, since since he is the one who brought about independence through a guerrilla warfare.
Yeah. The Australian cricket team is scheduled to tour your country in September, and there's been suggestions there that they should not go and basically make a stand. What do you think they should do?
Yeah, I think the cricket team shouldn't go. Australia is very well respected for its cricket, for its role in cricket in the world, and Mugabe would feel greatly supported. See, I'm sure they will do a lot of renovations and just to bluff people. They will try and show that Zimbabwe, after all, is such a wonderful country. It's only the Western world that's making propaganda against it.
Mm-hmm.
They did it already. Last year, for instance, we had an Africa Cup of Nations. They spent a lot of money to get the team from Zimbabwe, football team, down to Tunisia, and then sometimes they do this to divert attention from the local issues and from the problems that we're facing and the pain that we're facing. Then they start emphasizing, the sports is the big thing, so that people's attentions are taken away from the real issues. And then those people who travel to Zimbabwe will not be shown the true situation of what Zimbabwe is. They will renovate a few areas and pass them and get these people through those areas. They won't allow them to see the backyard and the amount of suffering that is there in Zimbabwe.
Archbishop Nakubi, I believe you are part of a group who wrote a letter to President Mugabe in April. It was called God Hears the Cries of the Oppressed. What did you say in that letter?
We were pointing out that the people in Zimbabwe are suffering, that people in Zimbabwe are angry, and that it's high time that the leaders listen to the people and they do things in such a way that everything, like the economy, like education, like health, becomes people-centered again. That they should stop oppressing the people, allow people to express themselves, also allow people to vote for the leaders that they would like to vote for, because that's one of the things Mugabe will not allow. He wants only to be the only one to be voted for.
Mm. And did you have a reply from President Mugabe at all to the letter?
I've been away since the 1st of May, so well, I understand that Mugabe replied that letter saying that the churchmen were choosing a dangerous path, but I haven't seen the whole statement of what he uttered over there.
Yes. And Archbishop Nakubi, do you have hope that things will change for your country?
Yeah, naturally, I'm hopeful. You see, the human spirit, the human spirit has this strength. It will not allow itself to be totally crushed. Apart from that, as Christians, we preach hope that God hears the plight of the oppressed. I am hopeful. That's part of the lobbying that I'm doing to try and put pressures on Mugabe to get off so that we can try and change things for the better for the people.
Yes. And how can we help you here in Australia? How can we support you in what you're doing? What would be practical things that we can do? We can certainly pray for you, that's for sure.
Yes, we are. We would appreciate a lot of prayer to be offered and fasting by the Christians and or any other groups. Supporting the initiative of Southern African Development Community for negotiation. Also, we would support humanitarian aid for people that are disadvantaged. We have a drought raging through the land this year. There was already shortage of food due to the chaotic land reform program. And then the hospital, the health situation is pretty bad, with some like over 20% of the people, of the adults, are HIV positive.
Mm.
So things like equipment for hospital and that, and also to assist civil society, that is these human rights groups and associations of women and those people that are providing livelihood.
Yes. And so the aid is getting through to your country? The aid that is being sent, is it actually getting through?
The aid usually is channeled to non-governmental organizations. It's not channeled directly to government because government politicizes aid.
Right. Okay. So as long as we go through non-government organizations, the aid should get there?
Yes.
Okay.
Aid goes through, let's say, World Vision, through Catholic Relief Services, through CARE, and a whole lot of other non-governmental organizations.
Okay, we can support those. Okay. Archbishop Nakubi, thank you very much for your time, and we pray for you, and pray for the freedom and the liberation of your country as well.
Thanks, Anthony. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for giving me a hearing, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to get your voice out. That's Roman Catholic Archbishop of Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, Pius Nakubi.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.